clarity, your wisdom in our lives today. Pray that you help us to be a light to those around us. Pray for encouragement for our brothers in other countries, Mexico, Colombia, Peru, Brazil. Pray that we can be a blessing to them, Lord. Pray for those that left us, Lord, that you would allow an opportunity and time for us to be able to help those who still have an interest in the truth, Lord. I pray that you guide us this morning. Give us wisdom and surrender to your word. In Jesus' name. I wasn't here last Sunday. What chapter was it? June.
What was one thing mentioned here that he's demolishing and doing away with? needs to destroy the best nations, gods, and walls, and sacred groves.
Okay, so what do you think is going to happen when he gets to Israel? He stops praying to them, to their way of life and worship as well. And then the plan is to make everybody worship Nebuchadnezzar only. And I wonder if this is the same thing that was happening with Daniel. He was confronting the same problem all by himself in the land of Babylon where Nebuchadnezzar was. And here they're coming to Israel with the same ultimate of destruction, or they're either worshiping Nebuchadnezzar or destroying everybody. That's where we're at as far as the end of chapter 3 goes. Okay. Go ahead and say a number of verses and I'll think of something for next week.
This week we're supposed to think of a person that obeyed or disobeyed God or the king, and what was the circumstances. And I thought about how when the Philistines captured the Ark of God, when they were bringing it back home, David put it on a cart instead of having the priests carry it like God had said. And on the way home, they went over some rough ground, and a man named Uzzah reached out and touched the ark, and he died because David had disobeyed God.
Joab listened to King David, and went and numbered the people, and then when he got home from numbering the people, God gave him three choices. One was to 7 years of famine, or 3 months of running away from his enemies, or 3 days of death. And he chose the 3 days of death, and a whole bunch of people died.
I thought of how when Cain and Abel were sacrificing to God, Cain never really loved God, so he didn't give an acceptable gift, and an acceptable thing to sacrifice. And then he killed his brother, and then God punished him by putting a mark on him to tell that whenever he met someone, whoever he met, we're supposed to kill him.
I thought of Jonah. At first he didn't obey God and went somewhere else when God told him to go preach to the people in Nineveh. Then God made him go through the stomach of a whale and to punish him.
We had the same assignment, and I got Aaron. When Moses went up on the Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, Aaron made golden calves for the people to worship. And then when Moses came back down, he got upset and threw the Ten Commandments on the ground, and because people weren't that made golden calves, and then Aaron wasn't able to go into the promised land.
when Captain Naaman came down with leprosy, he went and asked Elisha what he should do to get healed. And Elisha told him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and Naaman didn't want to do that. He thought he didn't want to dip in a dirty river like that, but one of his servants convinced him to do it and said, "What can you lose?" So he did it and did what God had told Elisha to tell him, and got healed.
I thought about Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den for honoring God, and God shut the lion's mouths and saved him for honoring him.
I got about Daniel, how he ate vegetables instead of the king's food because he knew God didn't want him to eat the king's food. So God made him wiser than all the wise men of Egypt, and he was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was and meant, and then he got made governor over Egypt and over Babylon, and then he got to be chief of the wise men.
I got in Third Kingdoms chapter 13, there was a man of God who went to Jeroboam to where he was off burning incense on the altar or something, and he told him that a king named Josiah would come and burn his priests on there, and then the king's hand withered up and the altar was torn apart, and then he restored the king's hand, and God told him not to go back the same way he came, not eat or drink. But on the way back, a false prophet told him that an angel told him to eat at his house, and when it came, he ate there, and then he told him that he would never be buried in the grave of his fathers. So on the way home, a lion got him and killed him.
I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown in the fiery furnace for not obeying man, falling down and worshiping the idols. And afterwards, the king saw that God was true and strong and mighty.
Thought of Saul when he was king. Samuel, or God told him to go destroy. Can't think of his king's name. Destroy everything. Kill everybody and all the livestock and stuff. And King Saul didn't want to do that. He then kept some of the stock for himself and didn't take the head of the king. And for that decision, God took his crown away.
Well, for next week's lesson, I guess the contrast with one of the aspects of what we read today in chapter 3 was how the Nebuchadnezzar, the god of this world, is forcing people into worshiping him. Just using force to make everybody do what he wants. So I just thought of how that contrasts with the way God interacts with us. He doesn't force us into doing his will. He shows us his will and gives us a free choice. So the idea for next week to share would be examples in the scriptures that how God gives us a free will or a free choice of whether to follow him or not to follow him. Anywhere in the scriptures, an example or a verse that would relate to that.